You're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we're going to be now speaking to Ahmed Barakan. He's a Lebanese Iraqi activist, writer, and University of Melbourne PhD student. He's currently involved in one of the organisers in the University of Melbourne for Palestine group, and has been involved with Palestinian activism on campus for years, including the BDS motion. And you may be aware that at Melbourne University there were expressions of solidarity for Palestine by wearing keffiyehs and carrying protest signs during a recent graduation ceremony at the exhibition buildings in Carlton, but it caused a stir. So let's hear what Ahmed has to say. Hello Ahmed, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So tell my listeners about what the protest was intending to do at the graduation ceremonies at the exhibition buildings.
Of course. I think for us, the very first thing, which is very important for us when it comes to building these movements in grassroots, is of course displaying that solidarity, that people in the community do actually care about this issue, that it genuinely means something to them. But that also making it normal, because I feel for a very long time when it comes to Palestinian activism, it's in something exceptional, it's in something out of the ordinary, and it's in only for people who have been racialized, which means that when someone else tries to get concerned or tries to get involved, they get told, why do you care? As though what's happening in Palestine has nothing to do with everything else. For us, what's happening in Palestine is interlinked to every single settler colonial project. Every single one of them feeds into each other. So for us to care about Palestine is to care about here, and to care about here is to care about Palestine. These two issues cannot be separated. So when it comes to, for example, not necessarily education, but awareness on the issue, displaying a solidarity, that keffiyeh thing was the most simple thing we could come up with, because what had happened was that the university had pretty much assumed that, or rather not assumed, but made it clear that they did not see us as an issue which had any real concern to them, that there was not a big enough support, at least publicly, that they should care much. And so what we decided to do was, along with the Siddur Intifada and Free Palestine Melbourne, was to get, now we're at nearly 300 keffiyehs, and we still have to get more, is to set up a stand outside the graduation, handing out keffiyehs to people who wanted to wear one whilst graduating. The feedback has been great. There have been some attacks, unfortunately, but that tends to come with any sort of activism these days. And so the skill is learning how not to engage with it, especially because this hateful vitriol pushes us away from where we need to be. However, what had actually happened yesterday, actually, so after what is now 4 days, 5 days of graduations and peaceful protests and peaceful solidarity, an Eritrean student had pulled out a Palestinian flag and was immediately rushed by security and staff, who were very aggressive, tried to pull it out of his hand. And, I mean, obviously he was quite shocked. He couldn't understand why, because this whole week everyone has been able to do similar things and no issues. And then he was ejected from the graduation. He wasn't allowed to graduate. He wasn't allowed to have photos. He wasn't allowed to have anything. They just ejected him, took him straight out of the building after 30 minutes. And he had spent quite a lot of money on the tickets for him and his family. And when we had a meeting with the university about it, what they had said to us was that there was no such policy. They had made it explicitly clear to all staff, and for me this is what makes it worse, they made it clear to all the staff that there were to be no interventions in any signs of solidarity with Palestine. None. That no staff should intervene, that they should let the student do as they wish because it's their graduation, it's their special day, so on and so forth. So for us, what this confirmed, because as activists, we have to act out of love. We have to assume the best, even though they assume the worst in us, because they want us to be demonized, they want us to be dehumanized. So they assume the very worst. For us, because our liberation is liberation for all, we have to love all. We have to assume the best of all. So when he had been ejected, we had assumed, out of assuming the best for them, that this was a policy, maybe, that they had changed something, that there was a miscommunication, whatever it may be. To then be told explicitly that there was no such thing, that all staff had been told not to intervene, made it very clear this was racialized. That because this was a black student pulling out a flag, this was racialized, it was targeted, because the white students and the white adjacent students who had shown their solidarity, no intervention whatsoever, the moment a black student had done it, immediately ejected from the graduation. And for us, this isn't enough to just be told, oh, there's miscommunication, you know, we'll sort of know, because this is something that we know has been happening for well over three centuries, that this settler colonial project, century and a half ongoing, has existed like this only because of the fact that every single framework and institution works against black people.
First Nations people.
To be ejected. And, I mean, we even had, and I talked about this in the last interview, I'll bring it up again because I think it's still very relevant and it ties exactly into this, that when a First Nations person graduating from their master's pulled out a banner that said Black Fellows for Palestine, the camera immediately panned away and they didn't get any photos. Immediately. So we have two instances here where the Solar Colonial University has made it very clear what forms of solidarity it will accept and from who it will accept it. And for us, this is unacceptable.
Oh, they're so uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That's so bizarre. Also, Melbourne University has a background of deceit, in a sense, because it has a $13 million deal with arms manufacturer Lockheed Martin, who supplies weapons that kill Palestinians and others.
Yes, and the issue that we have with this partnership, or working relationship, as we've been told in a few meetings, that they prefer not the word partnership, because it's not legalese enough. It's not technically a partnership. It's something different. Is that the assumption that because, oh, we're not explicitly involved in weapons, we just do all the other things. And so we have made it very clear. First of all, we're against any weapons proliferation. Second of all, we're not stupid. And what tends to happen, and what makes it actually worse, is that when you have companies like this on a university ground, even if it's not weapons, in fact, if it's not weapons, it's worse, because then it's about legitimizing it, making it palatable, making it acceptable to have this company around, as though it is fine to have it. It's like, for example, and actually, you know, I won't use that example because it might implicate one of the staff who told us this in the meeting, but the idea that if there's a major conglomerate and all their various wings do different things, that it's okay for one of them to do one thing, even if the main company is bad. For us, not at all. The Lockheed Martin project, as it has been for a century and a bit now, since prior to World War II, when it was just Lockheed, is to capitalize off war, is to capitalize off the killing of people. That's it. That's their mission statement. So every single time something is brewing, they feed into it, they put billions into it, they lobby, they fund, they put money into research to prove, or to rather convince the politicians that this is the course of action to take, that killing people is the cause of action to take. Because after every single war, you only need to look at their treasures, their coffers, and you'll see that they've made trillions. They've made billions and trillions off the killing of us, and they've been doing this for a century. So this is something that's very, very, it comes natural to them at this point.
Well, as you point out, it's crucial to put pressure on institutions that boast humanity, but whose actions directly enable and encourage inhumanity. I like the way, the phraseology of that.
It's important. And in fact, because these universities are producers of knowledge and they are centers of knowledge production, at least it's what they want to be, when it comes to having some critical thinking about these kind of things, weapons manufacturing, there should be no dissent whatsoever by the fact that we should not be involved at all with any company which is directly involved in ethnic cleansing and genocide. Any company which profits off this should be off the list. There should be no way that this passes an ethics committee. There shouldn't be any way. But of course, because the university does not view that as an important consideration to take, because for them, especially, as I said before, a settler colonial institution, other settler colonies can do so much, and that's fine. It's all the other things, apparatus, it's fine. But it's only the gun, maybe, that they have an issue with, the chemical weapon they have an issue with. Oh, we won't be involved in nuclear weapons. Okay, but what about everything else?
Let's get on to the other glaring piece of evidence against Melbourne University, which is the conflating of anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, which is a very hot item at the moment, isn't it?
Of course. The issue that has stifled activism for so long, and in fact I have a story, unfortunately, what happened to a student, is the idea that Israel is a nation under siege, that it is a nation which has self-victimized itself, and to criticize even just its existence, the fact that it is a settler colonial project, to even mention the fact that there is currently a class of people, the Palestinian people, underneath, who are being colonized, who are being oppressed, is now considered to be anti-Semitic. But to even consider or question why Israel needs to be spending billions of dollars on this military apparatus is now anti-Semitic. And what happened was actually, at a conference, at a symposium, a speaker who was speaking about, from memory, it was Jewish concerns post-October 7th. It was that, just that topic. And then one student had just asked, okay, but how does this work in relation to Palestinians? Especially, for example, the fact that Palestinians are being ethnically cleansed actively in the Gaza. Instead of answering the question, the student was called an anti-Semite, and there was a report filed.
Oh,
and they
goodness.
Had to go through the administrative wing. And so this is the defense, because instead of dealing with the critiques, instead of recognizing that there's active ethnic cleansing, it immediately defenses anti-Semitism. And the university has given them this through the IHRA, has allowed for this defense to be used to stifle any kind of activism, to stifle any kind of questioning, and to stifle any critiques. For us, it's not at all anti-Semitic to be criticizing a settler colonial project, not one which has killed hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in 75 years.
Well, no, not to me either, but, you know, there you go. in fact, it was quite telling that all this that has been happening, this bloodshed that's happened in this period, seems to have followed 2 years of Palestinian voices finally reaching the public of the world. You know, it had reached a critical point where finally it was established publicly in loud words that Israel is an apartheid state. I mean, the step-by-step cruelty has been so extreme for so long.
Yes. Honestly, I would like to thank... I use this word thank a bit funnily, but I'd like to thank social media for that. I think for a lot of students, a lot of staff, a lot of the general public, in fact, the fact that there is a direct connection through to Gaza, the direct connection through social media, for example, anyone now can go on Instagram and very easily find live video of what's happening. They can see what's happening. And it's you can't deny it. When there's pretty much millions of hours worth of video piling in, just coming in, you can't deny it. There's no way you can look at that all without having genuine cognitive dissonance to then say, oh, they are the oppressors, and not that they are the victims. There's no way in which someone can see what has been happening to the families there, what has been happening to the women, the women, men and children, what has been happening to the old, the young, what has been happening to the disabled and the able,
everybody, in fact. Everybody.
There's no discrimination, not even between, for example, the cis and the non-cis, or the hetero and the non-hetero. These distinctions are not being made by Israel. That is, an only concern for them is that there is a Palestinian, they must be ethnically cleansed. So this is why I believe that there is such a strong showing of solidarity from every single circle. And that's what it needs, to be honest, because in order to take down the settler colonial project, in order to no longer make it palatable to talk about Israel, and to be able to talk about Palestine at the dinner table now, you need every single circle to realize that this is ethnic cleansing, that there is no way to make it justifiable, that we cannot accept the same racist rhetoric that was used to justify the ethnic cleansing and settler colonial projects elsewhere, the same projects that they use here in Australia and they continue to use, the same ones in America and Canada that they continue to use, and they rely on the same rhetoric. Yeah, the same racist rhetoric they are using in Palestine, in Gaza. It's the same thing. And so these connections have to be made.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us today. And thank you for making it clear that Melbourne University's graduation ceremonies needs to take into account the broader issues.
Of course.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ahmed, for talking
to
us this morning.
Me.